This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Good to have you on board as always. Thanks for watching on YouTube TV, listening on SiriusXM channel 158. You can also listen on iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, or any of our great affiliates across the country. Coming up in this hour, more on the NBA card that we have tonight, including now a player demanding a trade earlier today. Best bets in soccer, Steve Wiss coming up in 30 minutes. Our In Pocket Plays coming up at the back end of the hour. Almost like an early edition here of Let's Get Nuts, Have Some Guts that we do on Sunday mornings on the Tailgate Show.
Mm-hmm. Damn right.
So earlier today, Paul Charchin had a great breakdown, and you also like the RJ Harvey angle here to go nuts. You like him receiving?
Ozzie was making the case receiving. Yeah, he's been had a ton of targets, but I think he can also do damage on the ground.
All right. If you missed Charge, you can always go back and listen to the Follow the Money podcast. He was on at 4:30 Eastern today. What about the angle of Jaleel McLaughlin?
Big numbers.
Backup running back. He's plus 550 anytime. He's 70-1 to score, too. You might find higher than that. Buffalo allowed 18 touchdowns on the ground to running backs, tied for the most in the league. So it's 70 compared to plus 450. Now, Harvey did finish the year with 24 rushes inside the red zone, scoring five times. He also had 8 catches on 9 targets inside the red zone and had 4 more scores. I think he had 12 touchdowns on the year. So he's almost like a touchdown machine here. But I just, maybe something happens as well. I'd say this, always pay attention when there's an injury to these books that allow the live betting on backup running backs. Get on that right away. But 70-1 on McLaughlin in that same game. Not a lot of options here for Josh Allen.
Yeah. So if Samuel plays, you want a piece. He's 10-1 anytime.
He's 10-1 anytime. He's 140-1 for two. I mean, if you really want to get nuts here. Three guys entering the week at that position on the roster. If Samuel plays, they might have to pluck somebody else off, and they will from the practice squad. But why not? 10-1 and a guy who might be getting go out there and have to like run some serious routes? I don't hate it. The Tongass angle, I think, is really good. Because against Seattle, on the year, they allowed 64 yards per game to the tight end position. Now there's going to be no George Kittle in this spot. He's 35-1 for two scores. I know plus 350 is out there for any time, which feels like it's going to have to be a bet, but 35-1 for two. Backup tight end Luke Farrell is 250-1 for two touchdowns. God. Like, but here's the thing. How many points do the Niners score? Is this game... Because I have equated the Seahawks to the Eagles here. Like, they're similar on defense, right? Well, they scored 3 points, the Niners did, week 18 against Seattle. But they actually looked pretty good and got points on the board. Creative. Shanahan was unbelievable in that game. Do we get 20-plus points out of the Niners in this game?
That's aggressive. Shut them down the last game, not to mention what they did on the rushing attack, too. So I keep Purdy off the field. I ran for 180 yards in the last game. And I know he's had success in Seattle, but they, you know, he didn't do much in week one either. They won because of the fumble late that they had. Going back a second, too, let's get nuts. So he only has 3 healthy wide receivers. And Shakir had 12 catches on 12 targets against Jacksonville. 25 yards each half is 3-1. 20 yards each quarter is 75-1. A catch each quarter is 2-1. 5 yards each quarter is plus 425. And take that with the reception. Not bad.
5 yards for Shakir each quarter.
Yeah.
Is plus 425.
That's good. The targets are going to be there, and he trusts them.
Man, oh, man.
Because I don't know, because I like Cooks over, but Cooks might only have 2 catches, something like that.
Well, here's the thing, too, with Shakir, it's not like you have to rely on a guy who they're going to take a deep shot to, and that's going to be his one chance. They're going to throw probably several times at or near the line of scrimmage. Now, that could also result in, like, no gain or 1 yard, but if you give him, like, let's say he has 10 targets again in the game. So it averages out to 2.5 per quarter. He catches 2 of them.
Yeah.
He falls forward twice, he's going to get 5 yards.
You were making the case for Troy Franklin. 25 yards each half is 16 to 1.
What?
Be two catches. It's like the Parkinson thing.
Wow.
He's only listed like 19 and a half. He can get that on one catch.
25 yards each half for Franklin, 16 to 1. Man, oh, man. Okay. All right. I'm liking what you're throwing at me here. Now, how about this on the, we ran this down earlier. Like the Bears and the Rams should both be able to run it. And there's obviously going to be weather here as well. Going to be super cold in Chicago. So maybe that takes over. Like both defenses can be had on the ground. Blake Corum is 25 to 1 for two. Kyren Williams is plus 850. I actually don't hate either one of them. Rushes inside the 10 on the year. Williams, 28 carries, resulted in 10 touchdowns. Corum had 15 carries inside the 10 and scored 4 times. Rushes inside the 5. Williams had 17 and scored 8 times. Corum had 12, scored those 4 touchdowns. I would also say the same thing for Swift and Manungai, but the Rams only allowed 6 touchdowns on the ground overall to running backs. Carries inside the 10. Swift had 23 and had 6 touchdowns. Manungai had 19 carries inside the 10, had 5 scores. How about inside the 5? Swift, 13 carries, 5 touchdowns. Manungai, 10 carries, 4 touchdowns. So I guess what I'm getting at is I think if you bet all 4 running backs to score 2+ touchdowns, you're not going to hit all 4. If you did, my God, the same game parlay, mm-hmm. you could retire. Mm-hmm. But I think if you hit, if you bet all 4 of those, I think one guy can pop, and then it's a winning day. And, you know, I'm not telling you to put down, you know, a nickel or $1,000, and who knows how much some of these books will take on that anyway, but...
All teams, 2 rushing touchdowns, 500 to 1. That's at FanDuel.
So we would need 16 rushing touchdowns minimum.
All teams, a rushing touchdown, 45 to 1, which we already discussed. Every team to score, minus 220. There's a better number out there at Will Hill.
Mm-hmm. Did you see this? Excellent. You see this tweet from FanDuel?
No.
We were talking about this on the show. We also talked about it on Pod of the Futures. The 5 most bet players to win the Super Bowl MVP over the last 24 hours.
This is great.
Yeah, Fairbairn for the Texans, number 1 bet guy. And he's down to 500 to 1 now. Hey, they had him posted at 2,000 to 1.
Yeah, that's at the record this year.
Yeah. Josh Allen, Drake May, Puka Nacua, Christian McCaffrey followed him.
That's a pretty good number on Puka, don't you think? I was making the case for JSN yesterday, but how many times he's going to throw to him if it could be Cup all over again.
Yeah, I mean,
season, but the Fairbairn makes sense because he had 6 field goals in the win against the Colts. He keeps going over his prop, although Stroud let us down on Monday night. But a lot of these times he cashes the prop in the first quarter.
I know.
I mean, that's the recipe. Strong defense, you win like 19-16. The guy has nothing but field goals, and here's your MVP.
Yeah, there you go.
They're from distance.
I mean, let's be honest here. You're not going to be surprised if the Texans make the Super Bowl, right? Like, if any of these teams get there, you're not going to be surprised. Well, this guy's been one of their best weapons in terms of putting points on the board the entire time. And, oh, by the way, their defense is the best in football.
Mm-hmm.
So there is absolutely an angle where it's going to be a low-scoring game. And if that guy were to make 4 or 5, and you're right, they only scored 19 points, whatever that number is, it'd be kind of hard to ignore. Unless Hunter has 5 sacks in the game and totally just eliminates the passing game from the other side. But that's a fun one. And here's another thing, too. Like at 2,000 to 1, if they made the Super Bowl come Super Bowl week, that's going to be, he's going to be 300-400 to 1.
Yeah. How many carries does McCaffrey get? He's plus $1.25 to have 5 yards each quarter.
I'm going to say.
How about that?
I'm going to say he gets 14 carries in the game.
Oh.
The only way I think to look at McCaffrey is in the passing game this week.
These are great.
Right, I mean, the Seattle defense
is
so
good.
Number,
that's a bigger number than a reception each quarter plus 125. I would need more than that, but 5 yards, 5 yards each quarter is plus 280. That's receiving. 50 yards rushing each half, 14 to 1. That's a let's get nuts.
By the Opta AI stats at vsin.com/NFL props. They are projecting McCaffrey for 68 yards on the ground. And 56 in the air plus six catches.
So, how big are they? Got to be high on, they're high on JSN every week. What'd they have? Did you look?
I did not.
He's $1.50 to have 25 yards each half. 20 yards each quarter plus 950. 10 yards each quarter, 3-1.
Ask and you shall receive right there. They're projecting 100.5 basically out of him.
Yeah.
He had what?
You got to love that bet then.
6 for 84 in the last game against the Niners?
Yeah. There's been a couple flukes where he, after the slow start, right? But I think Clint gets him involved early and often while they're running all over him, though, too. And that's why I'm more inclined to bet Harvey on the weekly leaders. Because, yes, the rushing game's been great, but they're going to split carries with Charbonnet and Walker. Last three games, 180 yards rushing against the Niners, 163 against Carolina, 171 against the Rams. And these are big prices on both guys if you want to do the same thing. Walker, 10 yards each quarter plus 420. 20 yards each quarter, 30-1. Charbonnet, 10 yards each quarter, 7-1. 5 yards each quarter, plus 210. I mean, look at those numbers. Look what they're doing on the ground the last three games.
Sure.
All those can come in.
You can always tweet the show, at VSIN Live and Mitch Moss Radio at Paulie Howard. Tom says he's all over the McLaughlin TD props. Loves that. This is from Nickel Fritz. Loveland?
Yeah.
Two touchdowns, more two touchdowns, commit two touchdowns.
Oh, come on.
He's going to go, no, he wants to bet all three in case one gets there. I think it's the running backs, not the receivers in this game.
I throw out more. I like the other ones.
Hoops next. As always, trade deadline in the NBA should create a raucous couple of days starting today when this player demanded a trade.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
Is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Tonight's NBA card coming up in a minute. More reaction here to our discussion on guys to look at this weekend in the divisional round, player props, maybe a couple of touchdowns anytime, guys. We were talking about how the Rams and the Bears should both be able to get their ground games going and stick with it the entire game, right?
And Ben Johnson has already said that's a point of emphasis and we have to establish the run and do a better job. Hello, Swift.
Yep. Again, tweets coming in at VSIN Live, at Mitch Moss Radio, at Paulie Howard. This is from Xavier. What do you think of this? He added, I sprinkled on these in case the weather forces the Rams to steamroll the Bears' defense in the cold weather. All five offensive line starters are back.
Yeah.
And these two running backs could salt the game away in the fourth quarter.
If McVay likes to run with the lead in the second half.
That's exactly what he said.
Okay.
So he bet Corum and Williams to combine for 200-plus on the ground, 16-1. Corum and Williams to combine for 250 plus is 80-1. Now, remember, it's not the same team here, but it's the same game. Manungai and Swift combined for what was, that had to be almost 250 against Philadelphia in that game on Black Friday.
Yeah.
What he realized in that game, oh my God, I am dominating Vic Fangio right now. He has no answer. And I'm going to keep gashing him the entire game. And more teams need to do that, by the way. Like you said, with Jacksonville on Monday, how do you not realize that?
Absolutely. Houston. Several times this year, Monday night.
And the
Charger game on Saturday afternoon. You're getting 5 yards of carry.
That's right.
You know, you could put something together with Swift and Williams, too, if you wanted. And he got a good number on the first one. Corum and Williams is 75-1.
For 250?
Yes.
Yeah, and that could also be, look, I'm just going to throw this out there. This could be like all narrative right on my part, but.
Yeah, he's got to take this. Swift and Williams, 10 yards each quarter, 40-1. Do that too.
Okay. But it could be one of those things where if the offensive line is having their day with the front of the opposing team and they are kind of like pounding them into submission, and you're getting 4 or 5 yards a crack, and you're just every time you're on top of these guys on the ground, and that ground is as hard as concrete, and it's 0 degrees outside. You're kind of hating life, and you just got to pick yourself up off the mat. I get it. These are football players. They're extraordinarily tough. I've never been in that position, obviously, but just trying to spitball that out there of where you saw this happen on what was the team? It was there was a team this weekend that kind of tapped out.
The Steelers did.
The Steelers absolutely
the
did.
The last Marks touchdown.
Yes, they did.
First and 15. They didn't even touch them.
Yep. And the Jaguars players, were they letting Allen score on 4th and 1? Whatever. They still had to get in the end zone there, but they didn't wanted nothing to do with that pile when he was almost going to score on that 4th and 1.
You mentioned Swift and Manungai. 250 combined, 75-1. 200 yards combined, 18-1. Swift and Williams to combine for 200 is 11-1.
So the number has moved a little bit anyway.
But I like all this stuff, 5 yards, 10 yards, 25 each half, the quarter stuff as well. And I like it with McCaffrey, too, with the carries. And if you want to do the Seattle guys as well. But the one that blew us away is Shakir. I mean, to have 12 targets and 12 catches last week, and you're down so many guys, 5 yards each quarter is plus 425. Mm-hmm. It's got to be looking at him a lot. So what do you think in the association here? A lot of guys injured. Sexy card. A lot going on. I read the money quotes from Giannis. He's ticked off. You know, they're not even in the play-in right now.
Oh, I know.
That's why you think with the trade deadline looming a couple weeks away, we could have some activity here.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to get what you wish for.
What are you going to do? I mean,
I don't think they're trading him.
No, okay. Well, no.
I don't. I could be wrong. I mean, here's the thing.
Well, he's not going to ask for one. That's the thing.
He won't. He's already made that abundantly clear. But if I'm Milwaukee, I would have conversations. Like, I mean, just in case. I mean, as somebody from that state, I hope to God they don't trade him, and I want him to play there his entire career. But if there is a mother load out there on the opposing side, I'll throw out Oklahoma City. I don't think they would be doing that. But like in Atlanta, a Houston, whomever, if the offer is just way too good, I would have internal discussions. Wouldn't you?
Yeah, I got to trade him.
They have done a really bad job of building the team around him.
Yep.
But so here's one guy that's going to be on the move. Mm-hmm. Earlier today, the reports came out that Jonathan Kuminga demanded a trade.
What a life. He got a big contract. They never play him.
They don't play him.
No. Kerr doesn't like him. But then they still signed him in the offseason, and now he finally said enough's enough. Boy, they have so much drama. They are the kings of drama in sports.
Yeah.
There's always something going on with them. But Kerr, Green, the owner, Curry, the wife, something.
How much disconnect can we have here?
Yeah. And it's shown on the court.
The team wanting to bring him back, giving him that much money, but then here comes the regular season, and Kerr's like, I don't care. And he's a nice ball player, by the way. Like, he can help some team out, I would think. I mean, unless he's just a complete, like, head case and a me guy, that's it.
How about Harden last night? Well, we're going to do this. We're going to run these teams down and win the division.
Is that what he said afterwards?
Yeah. We're still, like, 8 back, but they're tied with Memphis for the 10th spot. But tonight, no Brunson. Knicks on a back-to-back, bad showing. And again, you know, it's all the pressure comes once we get to the playoffs, but the Knicks should not be 25-15. They're too good, and they're too good offensively. So the issues continue on the road, 8-11. And the more, we're almost getting to the All-Star break here.
Sure.
We're almost to February. I mean, this Detroit Pistons to get the 1 seed looks good. And certainly they have a huge lead in the division when we gave out plus 450. But the Pistons are a great story. And I don't even know if the Knicks are going to win it. Probably not. Actually, the Celtics are probably going to win the division. They were a half game back now. Boston, 2 bad losses. At least how it happened against the Spurs. Shame on Jaylen Brown afterwards. He went after the refs. He got fined. He said there's a bias against the Celtics. Come on. And then they lost to the Pacers. But great season for the Celtics. And then you're getting Tatum back at some point.
Yeah, I'd be betting Toronto to win the division at that place still.
But this is still a huge total. And again, Miami number 1 in pace. If Boston can end the losing streak at Miami, I think there'll be plenty of points tonight in that one. Celtics or
although teams have figured out the Miami offense. So.
You think so?
Yeah, their offensive numbers are really coming back to the pack. They're after that really super hot start.
Yeah, they're only 2 games over now.
And I'll give you this, by the way, when these two teams play, under is 11-2 the last 13.
Okay.
And Boston is 7-1 straight up in ATS, last 8 meetings with Miami on top of that.
Very good.
the Suns game, well, Booker got hurt, so that's no good. But I am betting a 3-point prop in this game tonight.
Pistons, number two defense.
Oh, yeah, very good.
Still
all year long.
Getting it done. Yeah, great story.
So I whiffed on the props last night, but now the Pistons are up to 7.5. The best number on over 2.5 is long gone on Grayson Allen, but over 3.5, I grabbed at plus 165 earlier today. He took 14 threes in his last game. He hit 6 of them. So he's going to get plenty of attempts in this game again tonight. You give me, again, 12, 14 attempts, I have to look at that. And here's another one, too. So this has been kind of toggling back and forth all day long. Remember how the season started with Oklahoma City and Houston? Phenomenal game. Houston led the entire way.
Are you disappointed in them? I am.
Well,
they're the sixth seed, and they're 23-14.
I think they'll get it corrected by the end of the year. Could be wrong on that.
Yeah.
But they were also like the favorites to win that division, and now they've been looking up at San Antonio pretty much the entire time. If this number, and it's been going, again, I think 5.5 was out there earlier today, but for the most part now, it looks like Oklahoma City is 4.5 on the road. There's a 5 at FanDuel. Do you want to lay 5 with Oklahoma City? Houston's really good at home. That's the thing. Yeah. They're bad on the road.
Yeah.
I think that's a big, if this goes to 5.5 or so, I'd have to take Houston.
I like the Warriors tonight. And I wish I'd lean the over in the Laker game as well. You know, I wish I could. It's like when we break down an NFL game for 10 minutes and then a coach loses his mind, like Cohen did, or there's a key turnover. It's like, okay, well, what are you going to take your analysis? Then it's sticking. Well, it's like the Lakers. I mean, they came out with no effort, no defense against Sacramento and got embarrassed.
Yep.
And then on a back-to-back, when you thought they'd sit people, everyone played, and they went 19-34 from three, and they were awesome and destroyed Atlanta. So the other thing is that you referenced this earlier in the week. Rich Paul said they should trade Reeves for Jackson.
Jaren Jackson.
Right. That's why people was a distraction, and LeBron had been asked about and all the other stuff and what he said in December on his podcast as well. But 24-14, it shouldn't be that gloomy, Gus, because they have a good record.
Right.
But it's just, what's Ayton going to do? What are you going to get out of Smart and Vincent and the role players, and are they going to show up and defend? That's the question night and night out with the Lakers.
Yep, something to watch with Utah, back-to-back. That game against the Bulls last night went to the moon.
And no flag, though.
So they get the Mavericks tonight.
Marshall props? Sorry.
Well, he scored a ton of points last night.
Yeah, go to VSiN.com. Look at the prop analyzer. He's been great.
So the Mavericks are now 4-point favorites here. Utah is 20-7 under when playing back-to-back away games since March 2021. Under the total between these two teams, 7-1 since 2024. 236.5 is the total. I'm going to do a little bit more of this next week, but pay attention to the Utah schedule this week and how it comes to an end next Monday and Tuesday. And they are, by the way, like putting their guts into these games. They beat Cleveland. They almost beat the Bulls last night. We'll see what kind of an effort we get out of them tonight. I would expect probably the same thing, but they have an impossible schedule that's going to end next week. The meat man, Steve Wiss, on the program will give us best bets in soccer coming up on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Time now for some best bets this weekend in soccer as we head out to the Progressive Guest Line. The meat man, Steve Wiss, joins the program with the Betting Weekly Studios. Because we win podcast, I have to begin with this, and we got plenty of reaction on this. For example, Eric emailed the show, Steve, and good afternoon, thanks for the time as always, about Crystal Palace. And he said, the next time you talk, can you bring up the game against Macclesfield? And he was looking at to play Crystal Palace this weekend. We all know what happened. Macclesfield is a sixth-tier team, and Palace lost outright. Are you on board with this? Did you do anything with Palace now in their next match? No, we're still working on him. Okay, don't have him quite yet. All right.
It was the biggest upset in FA Cup history with the sixth tier, and then the gap, 117 places.
Think about that.
And 10-1 on the money line. Yeah.
Steve, we're talking about what happened with Palace against Macclesfield, and if you want to back Palace after getting embarrassed by that output.
Yeah, it's a good question. Hi, guys, by the way. Listen, it's Crystal Palace. I mentioned it before Christmas, how they had so many games to play in December that I think this was the final culmination of all their problems, really. Will they bounce back now? The problem is this weekend they've got Sunderland. Have you ever been in a situation where you kind of want to fade both teams?
Mm-hmm.
This is where I'm at with this match this weekend, Sunderland and Crystal Palace. So it's a difficult question, really, to see how Palace will bounce back, potentially. Maybe this could be a tie. They've had a full week of rest, which is good, and the media have been telling them how bad they are. So maybe they can bounce back.
All right, fair enough. Let's start with Saturday, Leeds against Fulham. Who do you like in this one at 10 o'clock Eastern?
Leeds, definitely. Leeds have a great home record. They are much, much better at home than away from home. So it absolutely makes sense to get them here at plus 120 against Fulham, who Fulham are not a bad team. They're a mid-table sort of side. But I can't forget the previous meeting between the two sides back in, I think it was September or October. Fulham won 1-0 with the most ridiculous own goal you've ever seen in your life. It should have been 0-0, but Leeds outplayed them that day. I think matchup-wise, Leeds are really good against Fulham here. They've got two strikers, physical team, and at home, we know that the atmosphere and the crowd at Elland Road are going to get them over the line. I actually thought Leeds would be even money or even minus money to win this game. They are a really strong home team. They've proven that against some of the better teams in the Premier League, and they can get a win here against Fulham after a full week of rest.
Let's go to Sunday. The early match is Wolverhampton against Newcastle. You see goals in that one. Tell us why.
Yeah, I think because Wolves are actually finally showing a bit of fight. And, you know, they're going to go down swinging, which I kind of thought would happen a bit earlier, a few weeks ago. But now they are starting to score a few more goals. A morale-boosting FA Cup win against really poor lower league team. But it's a win nevertheless. They actually have finally got on the board with a victory in the Premier League this season. So, yeah, I think it's a good time for Wolves to strike again against Newcastle. But the problem for Wolves, especially at home, is their defence is awful. So Newcastle have got enough weapons to take advantage of that one. In terms of a match result, there might be a few bettors out there looking to get sort of on a Newcastle lock or a Newcastle banker. I'm not sure about Newcastle. They're not always trustworthy away from home, but they do have a lot of firepower in their ranks who can take advantage of a potentially poor Wolves back line. This could be something like a 2-2 tie, actually. Over 2.5 goals, minus 143. No need to overcomplicate this one. I think it's going to be an entertaining game.
Sounds good. The late match Saturday is Aston Villa against Everton. Why do you like Villa?
Well, there's two main reasons. Number one, I think they're the much better team. But secondly, Everton's team news is really, really bad. The African Nations Cup, which I mentioned on here a few weeks ago, that is the final this weekend. And unfortunately for Everton, one of the teams in the final, Senegal, two of their players are going to be still there. So two really important players, Idrissa Gueye and Illiman Ndiaye. They're already missing their best midfielder this season, Kiernan Dewsbury-Hall. They've got a suspension at the back in the form of Michael Keane. This is a pretty threadbare squad anyway. And an Aston Villa side who have been excellent this season. They've often kind of overachieved a bit with the metrics, but that's what the good teams do. You know, they've got the players, the individual quality in attack who can score these long-range galazzos, who can score chances when you don't expect them to get in the back of the net. And defensively, they've got one of the best goalkeepers in the world, really, in Emi Martinez, who is Argentina's number one goalkeeper, of course. So Aston Villa here, I mean, I looked at them on handicaps, actually. -1, -1.5, yeah. But -150 just simply on the money line. This would have to be my best bet of the week, actually, Aston Villa, just simply to win the game. It looks a great bet.
Very good. Follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Our guest, Steve Wiss, you can follow him on X. He is at Meatman Soccer. He is with the Because We Win podcast and Betting Weekly Studios, and he is on the Progressive Guest Line. Let's fast forward to Monday. Brighton takes on Bournemouth. Are you expecting goals here in this match?
Yeah, follow the rules with Bournemouth. Unders at home, overs away.
Yeah.
So it's got to be, yeah, over 3 Asian goals, even money. Full push if there's 3 goals scored exactly. But this has all the ingredients to be a really high-scoring affair. And I think the only reason that the goal line is as low as it is is because Bournemouth have now finally sold their best player, Antoine Semenyo, to Manchester City for about $80 million. It's a big loss, but it's just the way that Bournemouth play. They've got so many attacking players. The manager loves to be on the front foot. I think Brighton as well can be vulnerable defensively. There's a history of goals when these two teams meet, and it's a bit of a sort of rivalry. These two teams on the south coast of England, and I think there's a slight rivalry starting to build between the two sides, which will give it a bit of spice. We're under the Monday night football cameras, which I think always motivates the players a little bit harder. And it's a sort of match where the result's difficult to predict. But in terms of overs and unders and goals, you have to go over goals with Bournemouth away from home. Their averages are through the roof on the road. So let's just stick with what works. Stick with the Bournemouth rules. Brighton will get sucked into this shootout as well. Over three Asian goals plus 100 would have to be, again, a really strong selection for me this week.
I'm surprised they're doing this so early. Do you have a lean Saturday morning, 4:30 Pacific, Man U, Man City?
Oh, what a tough game. It's because Manchester United have changed their manager again recently. So we don't really know which Man United are going to show up. It was a really bad performance last week in the FA Cup, though. So Manchester City have been playing a lot of fixtures recently. The manager, Pep Guardiola, said Erling Haaland is very tired. He needs a rest. He's not right at the minute. But it's the Manchester derby, as we call it. So everyone's fired up. You're going to be on adrenaline. Do you know what? If in doubt, let's back the best team, right? So the lean would have to be Manchester City around evens. But I wouldn't get heavily involved in this game.
All right. And let's go to the England Championship League, the league below the Prem. Saturday morning, tell us why you like Sheffield United.
Yeah, I gave Sheffield United out last time here on the show. They are a team massively on the rise in the Championship League. 7 wins out of 10. Definitely a dark horse, as we call it, to make the playoffs this season. And they're plus money to beat a Charlton side who are in free fall. 1 win in 11 for them. So it's basically two teams in completely contrasting form. Let's not forget that Charlton are a newly promoted side this season and Sheffield United are a relegated team from the Premier League. So at some point, the quality gulf is going to actually tell. And Charlton had a good start to the season, but their form of late has been so bad. And this often happens with promoted teams around now. They hit a brick wall and they are the team looking over their shoulder at relegation rather than Sheffield United, who started the season so badly. So I'm quite happy to keep riding this Sheffield United train at a plus money bet against a Charlton team who have not impressed me recently.
Very good. You also like betting the NFL. Do you have any futures that are pending on a team to win the Super Bowl or anything like that?
I unfortunately have a ticket on the Jaguars who are knocked out now. But this is a weird year, isn't it, in the NFL?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh yeah.
There's a few kind of underdogs that have been doing quite well. I quite like the LA Rams, actually, if they can get past this cold weather event in Chicago. But, you know, I know there was some news today about the Seattle's quarterback. You know, it's fine margins now, isn't it, at this stage of the season. Who have you guys got?
I have I'm pending on the Rams here. Bet them almost a year ago. End of February, I bet them.
Did you get about 20 to 1, 15?
30.
30, very good. Yeah. I mean, I think they're the best team. It's just that it's going to be really cold weather, isn't it, in Chicago. So let's see if they can get through. If they can get through that test, I think, they might well go all the way, guys.
I hope you're right, buddy. Thank you for the time, as always. Best of luck this week.
Thanks so much, guys. Take care.
Good to talk to you. Yeah. Good job, Meat Man.
Follow him on X, at Meat Man Soccer.
They were the best team.
Yeah, they were.
It haven't looked like it for a month and a half.
They can turn it around, but...
What do you think? All right, let me run it down again. 34 to Detroit, 38 to Seattle, 37 to Atlanta, 31 to Carolina, 4-for-4 in the red zone. Touchdowns.
I'm beyond concerned.
Yep.
Gotta be. I don't know.
And the voodoo. Chicago number one in takeaways and forcing turnovers.
Berries on me for sure if the Rams win between 1 and 4 points this week and they get the Niners in the NFC title game.
Okay.
In Pocket plays next here on VSiN.
to determine the winner of any given college basketball game.
Someone gives you 10,000 to 1 on anything. You take it. Take it.
I bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
I'll give you 3-1 odds.
Nope.
5-1.
Nope.
10-1.
You're right.
Sony Open, first round. Nick Taylor, 45-1. Share of the lead, dead heat. He gets in there at 8-under.
How many guys are, well, I'll check that right now.
Two guys are 8-under.
Okay.
And they're both finished. So he was 45-1 in some spots. Griffin, among three golfers that are 7-under. And earlier today in Berlin, Orlando was down 20, but came back to win and cover 6.5 against Memphis. Wild.
I will point out that plenty of guys just got underway basically at Sony.
Oh, is that right?
So there's a lot of golf to go yet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there are a bunch of guys who are on like the second and third hold right now.
Oh, all right. Thank you for that.
But it's also, that's a good sweat now. 8-under for sure on Nick Taylor.
Yep. Patriots first half and game. Good news on Gonzalez. And again, the incredible run all year, first half for the Patriots, as they are 15-3 ATS in the first half, 16-1-1 on a money line, and a 13-0-1 run. I think they're going to the AFC title game. McCaffrey over 51.5 receiving. Cooks over 29.5 receiving. Broncos pick against the Bills. Peyton undefeated off the bye. Fletcher over 68.5 rushing yards Monday night. I got to look at the backup too. He's been getting some carries as well. And I think that's the blueprint to hang and milk clock and run it against Indiana and keep Mendoza off the field. The backup had a touchdown in the Ole Miss game as well. This is at Caesars Will Hill. Swift over 56.5 rushing yards, but you also have Swift 5 yards each quarter, 10 yards each quarter. 10 yards is 5-1, 5 yards is plus 160. Also think Adunze can go off against the Rams. He's 34.5 receiving yards. Anytime you can get a Mikhail Sergachev reference in, you have to. And thanks to Jonathan Davis. He's the defenseman for Utah. 18 of the last 19 at home, he's had at least 2 shots on goal. Over 1.5 is minus 140 tonight. Let's keep that going. Every team has a rushing touchdown this weekend, 45-1. All teams, they have this better way to say it. There won't be a scoreless quarter.
Ooh.
Plus 130?
Yeah, plus 130.
McCaffrey, 5 yards rushing each quarter, plus 125. We talked about the Swift and Williams earlier. We talked about Williams and Swift on their own. We also mentioned Puka and Loveland. 5 yards each quarter is 9-1. And Shakir is plus 425, 5 yards each quarter.
Mm.
Good stuff. Let's see if these cash. Interesting. Good luck.
Right. No good last night in the NBA. Well, that's one of those things where it's only one game. Anything can happen. This is not a result from a simulation of 10,000 games. Merrill leaves after 9 minutes, hurt. He's out of the game on Friday. Maxey can't hit the broadside of a barn, and it turns into a 30-point rout the entire time, and then the starters had to sit for Philadelphia. No good. Both those were losers last night. FanDuel with those prices, / Boyd out here, sharp to really get me there, plus 146 and plus 124 when every other book was like even money on Maxey and plus 120 on Merrill. Pending Bears plus 4.5 against the Rams. Bills were on the opposite sides of that one. Harry Hall, top 10, plus 325. I added him to this top 10 first round. He's 8th right now.
All right.
So let's hope that one gets in. Walker and Charbonnet to combine for 125 plus on the ground is plus 151. You can get that at DK and beyond. A couple of new bets for tonight. Let's hope the three-point props turn around. I'm on Grayson Allen. Look, I bet him the other day. I told you about this. I had him plus money at over 2.5. Well, now there's no Booker tonight. Game starts here very soon against the Pistons. It's now 3.5, but it was plus 165 earlier this morning when I bet it. He took 14 threes in their last game against Miami, hit 6 of them. He took 9 against Washington the game before that. He hit 4. New York, he did not hit a 3, and against Memphis, he was 5 of 10. So there was a stretch this year where Grayson Allen, this is early to mid-November, he hit 4 or more threes in every game that he played for 6 consecutive games. Then he got hurt, missed some time, came back, missed time again. But since he's been back and now in the starting lineup tonight, chucking a lot and making a lot. So let's correct it from last night's woes. Hopefully get a winner here tonight with him. You can find Jake Tongas right now. His yards prop keeps going up. It's 34.5, minus 140. In this game, the Seahawks, I don't think they have very many weaknesses. However, of remaining playoff teams, they have the second worst DVOA against tight ends, and they allowed 64 yards to the position in the regular season. There's no Kittle. Tongas has to be the guy, in my opinion, in the air. And I'll bet on the Bucs had a bounce back tonight in the first quarter.
All right.
Absolutely embarrassed to the point of where they were getting booed. Giannis had a boo back, as you documented. Spurs, though, off a bad second half against Oklahoma City. That's the part that I don't like. But I expect Giannis to come out tonight, play fierce in the first quarter, a lot of minutes, set the tone here. I don't know if they're going to win the game, cover the 7.5, but early, out of the gates, give me the Bucs +2.5 in the first quarter.
I agree with Aaron Rodgers that a lot of people assume they can do and say whatever they want when they buy a ticket to a game.
Yeah.
But you are allowed to boo, especially when you're down 30 at halftime at home when your opponent is out with their two best players. But I think they come out with something tonight. Football meets flavor with VSiN and Omaha Steaks, the official sponsor of tailgating. And right now, when you spend $129, you get 2 pounds of fully cooked wings plus 50% off site-wide. OmahaSteaks.com/VSiN. Spend $129 and get 2 pounds of wings and save 50% site-wide on steaks and more. OmahaSteaks.com/VSiN. OmahaSteaks.com/VSiN. Who's more likely to repeat their performance? Loveland, Shakir, or Kirk?
I go Shakir.
You're right. Kirk, who had an unbelievable performance and cashed 400-1 most receiving yards. His high was 64 yards week 5 against the Ravens. They've been singing his praises all week. He could be a big part of the offense against the Patriots. Today pretty much shuts the door on Nico Collins not playing, because that's the one thing. It's one thing to get a concussion. It happened on a Monday night.
Oh, for sure.
So now it's, I mean, please, the last time he had a concussion, he missed the next game. So can Kirk do it again if they get him involved?
I would have said maybe he can have another really nice game, but then Christian Gonzalez looks like he's going to play.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if the game, I doubt he shadows Kirk again, but I'm going to lean no there. But to me, just out of necessity, and like Allen has to throw the ball to somebody, and those short like screen passes, bubble screens, dump offs.
It's incredible. 12 catches, 12 targets.
Yeah.
What a game.
So we talked about, we wish we had futures on Vandy. They lost last night to Texas. No shame in that. Their first loss of the entire year.
We're down to 3 undefeated teams.
And I was wondering, like, cause I did not, I knew that they were playing well, but it never dawned on me, hey, look at Vanderbilt to win the national title. Never thought about it once. Way too late now. They're like 19-1. And we were asking what the biggest numbers out there. Sammy on X said that one of the three-man weave guys has either 300 or 400-1 on them.
Ooh.
Now, that's a great get. Those guys are good. They get down in big numbers right away. Well, they live and breathe college basketball. And this is a tweet from Eric Armetta. He has a ticket on Vandy at 150-1.
How about Nebraska tickets? One of the three remaining undefeateds.
Well, I'm sure that they had to be in that range.
They haven't been top 10 since the 60s. What a story this is.
I know. I'd rather have Vandy.
Than Nebraska?
Yeah, I would.
Oh, you would. Okay.
But also, what do you think the highest number was on Miami, Ohio, before the year started?
Oh, please.
5,000-1?
A MAC team?
Yeah.
Probably bigger than that. It goes to the cutoff, 9,999.
Yeah, yeah. I've actually had teams at 2,000. I had South Florida the year they had Taco Fall, 2,001. And they had Duke buried. They had him beat.
Central Florida.
I'm sorry. I say that every time. Central Florida.
Yeah.
I had him at 2,001 before the tournament started.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing Miami was at 5,000, 7, whatever it was. Yeah, you name it.
18-0, kicking ass, taking names. Lenardi's got him like a 12 seed. Here we go again with this.
Right.
Team's going to be 31-3. We're in the bubble.
How about a little day action today over in Berlin? Memphis up big over the Magic, and for those people who were betting the Magic to come back and win the game outright, you probably had some pretty nice numbers.
Incredible.
They did, and they covered the game.
What do you think about the Ja Morant rumors to Miami? I don't know about that fit.
What's the take back?
You're not going to get much for him.
I do not like it.
Stressed asset. Again, look what Trae Young went for. Oh, incredible.
Yeah. I would not give up much for Ja.
I think that would be something, though, if he goes to Sacramento. It'd be DeRozan in a package.
Terrible.
Right? But they would do it, though.
You know how good Ja was? We loved him
coming
out of
college.
He was awesome.
I know.
He was so good. He could have been...
It's too bad. Think about the draft. It was him and Zion.
Yeah, yeah. One,
one can't stay healthy. The other one's got off-the-court issues and has a headache.
Great job by everybody behind the glass. As always, stay tuned. Prime time next. 4 hours live betting tonight. Murray and Humans, good luck with your bets.